This is the Roster Report podcast from Patriots.com. Don't know who got cut? We do. Not sure who was signed to the practice squad? Yep, we know that too. The Roster Report is your weekly guide to keep up with the Patriots roster from top to bottom. And now, here to keep you informed, the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.
Friday, May 11th, 2012, Gillette Stadium. Rookie minicamp taking place on the practice fields behind Gillette Stadium as we speak. The media was allowed to watch some stretching and one single sled drill in which Chandler Jones looked good hitting the sled. And so did Jake Beckett.
Markell Carter.
Dominating.
Standout.
Aaron Lavarius.
Dominant.
But yes, 23 players on the practice field inside the Dana-Farber Fieldhouse. That includes your 7 draft picks, your 7 undrafted players, 6 first-year players like Markell Carter and guys that were on the practice squad or the roster or what have you last year, as well as 3 unknown tryout players. But the news of the week, we had a few press releases from the PR department, most of which we already knew, announcing the rookie free agency undrafted players, announcing Joseph Addai officially added to the running back committee, announcing Jabbar Gaffney as just, you know, 1,000,172nd receiver we've signed this offseason.
How come it's not a wide receiver committee?
Because Wes Welker catches 120 catches, passes.
Okay.
It's more of a dictatorship.
Right. But the big news of the week, some announcements on the coaching staff. The roster of the coaching staff has been settled. Some of these moves were expected and some certainly were not. The one that I believe was most expected, we've talked about it for probably a year plus now, Matt Patricia was given the title of defensive coordinator. And we know titles mean nothing around here. He reiterated that fact when he met with the media this morning, just doing his job. It's a committee approach.
Nothing's changed.
Nope. It is a coaching committee on defense, Paul, so you'll be happy with that. Nothing has changed. He just hopes that his key card works every day when he comes here to Gillette Stadium. And so far, so good. Other moves, and I'm going to read.
We do, too.
Yes.
We hope ours work.
Yes, that's true. I'm going to read through these moves, and then we'll talk about some of the adjustments to the coaching staff. So as I said, Matt Patricia, defensive coordinator. Josh Boyer will coach the cornerbacks. He was the defensive backs coach last year.
Yeah, technically, but he had
Patricia worked with
the
safeties.
Yeah.
So Brian Flores will coach
there.
The safeties. Patrick Graham will coach the defensive line, switching from linebackers. And Pepper Johnson will coach the linebackers, switching from the defensive line. Johnson coached the inside linebackers way back when in the 2002-03 type range. On offense, George Godsey will replace Brian Ferentz as the tight ends coach.
As predicted. Here on PFW.
And a couple of coaches have been named as coaching assistants. A special teams assistant, Joe Judge. Wears the JJ shorts out on the practice field as we watched him today. And Steve Belichick.
That name rings
a bell.
You
may recognize that name.
Best known as the son of Bill, named after his grandfather, Steve, who's the coach at Navy, and played lacrosse at Rutgers, then walked on as a long snapper. Interesting that he's added to the staff, but talk about these changes, Paul Perillo. First and foremost, a little bit of a spotlight now on Matt Patricia, even though the job really doesn't change. He's called the plays for a couple of years. Mm-hmm. He's been the guy on the practice field. But now when the defense ranks 31st, they have a name to put with it. The defensive coordinator's name is Matt Patricia.
Yeah, and I think that it might be some external pressure. I don't think he'll feel it because I think he's right. I don't think he's lying or exaggerating by saying his job isn't changing. He was the
right.
defensive coordinator last
yep.
year. But now you're right. He does have that title officially. And I think if things continue to go wrong defensively, people now have a person to point the finger at, and that's Matt Patricia. So
the flip side of that coin is
that's not necessarily fair.
If they rank in the top 10 this year, all of a sudden Matt Patricia can get some praise.
Right, yeah. And we've been talking about the additions that they've made mostly through the draft, but even guys like Finene and Gregory and Trevor Scott and some of these other guys, they do have the potential to sort of make a substantial leap from that 31. We talked about our whole thing, bottom 5 or top 10. What was it?
More likely in the bottom five or the top ten.
Or the top ten. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I mean, if they get some improvement, you're right, Andy. That could be pointed right back to Patricia. But I do understand what he's saying. He was the coordinator last year. For him, his everyday work, I don't think, is really going to change much.
Interesting, I think, with George Godsey. Obviously takes over a position group, which did pretty well last year with Hernandez and Gronkowski. He may be a riser, I think, on this staff. Projecting 2 to 3 years down the road. Who knows if Josh McDaniels does a great job for 3 years? Maybe he gets another head coaching gig. But I think Godsey is a pretty impressive offensive mind who might add something to this mix long term.
I think it was it would have been even more interesting to see where they would have put him if McDaniels hadn't returned here. Mm-hmm. You know, there was initially rumors that he was going to follow Bill O'Brien to Penn State, and then that fell through, and he ended up staying here. And now Josh is taking over the quarterback's coaching duties as well as he did when he previously held the offensive coordinator job. So, you know, I kind of wondered whether or not Godsey would naturally take over the quarterbacking duties here.
Yep.
But when they brought McDaniels in, obviously that, you know, they went back to what they were used to. I think you're right, though. I think Godsey's a guy who they do like and has a future with this team.
I thought it was telling that he stayed.
Yeah.
Oh, sure.
That's
what I
mean. The fact that he stayed.
I'm sure he stayed because he knew he was going to be an assistant coach,
yeah,
not just a coaching assistant.
Yep.
But, you know, he could have easily left and been a riser at Penn State just as easily, and he's more familiar with the college game and all that.
Sure.
Another guy who's obviously familiar with the college game and has a pretty impressive resume for a coaching assistant, I would say, is Judge. He played at
Mississippi State
for 3 years, then was a GA there, and last
was a special
three
teams
years,
captain, by the way.
Yes.
You know, we know the Patriots love those captains.
Yeah, those are great. Special teams captains.
Anything but Patriots.com.
And then he was a football analyst under Nick Saban at Alabama for the last 3 years, including two national titles. So we not only get Dante Hightower, but we also get Joe Judge. And a pretty impressive resume, you know, the bulk of it on special teams, as you said, Paul, as a player and captain and all that. But that's a pretty experienced coaching assistant, I would say, at a high level from Nick Saban.
Yeah, I mean, the best program that you could be at. If you want to, you know, come from a coaching, you know, that's a pro system that Nick Saban has. It's a very like-minded guy to Belichick, obviously.
And
yeah,
not only that,
right.
He was a football analyst, which I believe or was close to what Scott O'Brien did under Nick Saban in Miami. Now he's working under Scott O'Brien.
That makes sense.
Or similar.
And let me go in the Wayback Machine for a second. We've gotten some sort of grad assistant types that worked under Nick Saban in the past.
Oh, yeah. Brian Daboll, Nick,
Josh
McDaniels.
So,
I mean, Nick McDaniels.
I don't know.
You combine
Nick
McDaniels.
Now, that was way back when Saban was
Nick
at Michigan
Ferrio.
State. But
right.
Just to give you an idea, you know, some you might think, well, that's a low-level guy under Nick Saban. What, you know, now he's going to the pros. Well, no, this is some guys.
Well, those guys end up as offensive coordinators and head coaches in the pros.
Exactly.
Now, Steve Belichick, I think, is an interesting one that obviously, listening to the radio and all the newspaper, that was a headline grabber this morning. Belichick goes into the family business and what have you. Now, obviously, he's got kind of an interesting background because he was a lacrosse player who then walked on for Greg Schiano as a long snapper at Rutgers. But, I mean, arguably, the best part of his resume is the fact that for 10 or 11 years, he's been to every training camp and, you know, been seen the inside workings of this team. And I think he's probably taking quite a bit from that and can offer something from that.
Yeah, I think the fact that, you know, you just if you just looked at his resume, you'd say a lacrosse player with one year of long snapping experience, how does he become a pro?
Hey, but if a rugby player can play football, then a lacrosse player can coach.
True. But like you said, he's far more experienced probably with how the professional game is coached, run,
unofficially
managed, than a lot of graduate assistants or,
then
you know,
Bill O'Brien when he got here. Bill O'Brien was less knowledgeable of the way, A, the NFL, and B, the New England Patriots work than Steve Belichick is, obviously.
Absolutely.
And the apple, you know, the tree.
Right.
See if there's a hill or not.
Right. And you could kind of see it happening over the last few years. I mean, the older he got, the more involved he got, you know, unofficially.
Right.
In training camp practices, doing, you know, assisting with the drills and whatnot. So it just looks like a natural progression for him.
Okay, I'm going to put Paul on the spot. Which of the undrafted players is going to make the team? Go. They're out on the field now. You got a chance to see them. Who's going to make the team?
Yeah, I'll tell you, the couple of guys.
He's got to look for the list first.
I did do a little research on this, as you know. You were making fun of me about it.
First time ever I was
actually
stunned.
You were making fun of me about it this morning. Justin Francis is a kid out of Rutgers.
Lighten up.
Who is an edge-type player, 6'4", 275. I like that style of player to have a chance to make an impact if he can show some athleticism. Now, we haven't, Andy's exaggerating, obviously, we haven't seen these guys on the field. They did very little in the way of anything football-wise today. So I'm just going off of off the bio here. So that's a guy that kind of caught my eye. You talked to Brandon Bolden a little bit today.
Yes.
Most of our listeners are a little bit more familiar with him because he's a running back.
Speaking
with
of the
Ole
edge,
Miss.
He has an edge to him in his personality. But he Doesn't know much about Ben-Jarvis Green-Ellis. Didn't really want to play along with that easy media angle. Comes from the same school. Had an injury and a suspension last year. Is just here to prove himself. Character issues. Come investigate me, he said, basically. Actually, he said, come investigate
yeah.
me. That's what he said. That was the quote. But Marcus Forston is my guy out of Miami. A talented guy. Missed a lot of time last year. I think he only played like 3 or 4 games. Had an injury. Still chose to come out early. And went undrafted, but, you know, a defensive lineman type. I see what they list him at here with the Patriots. 6'3", 300. So he's a guy that, you know, he went to Miami. He's a big athletic guy who was highly recruited. I think that's – and I think there's bodies, jobs to be potentially won on that defensive line if you believe that Ron Brace – might be kind of at the end of the line or something like that. So be interesting to keep an eye on those guys. We'll get another chance to watch them stretch and do a single drill tomorrow, or I will. Paul and Eric will be not here, and I will have a chance to hopefully talk to a few more of them. Today we got Jones, Hightower, Beckett, Bolden, Ebert.
Wilson. Yep.
So probably get a few more of the draft picks and undrafted guys tomorrow. Probably won't get any more assistant coaches, but look for Patriots.com. We'll have all the quotes out of Foxborough out of this exciting rookie mini camp as we start to move towards the 2012 season. And Paul Perillo likes, what was his name again?
Justin Francis.
Paul Perillo likes Francis to make the roster. Eric, I didn't ask because he didn't have one ready. For Paul Perillo and Eric Scalvino.
I like how Markell Carter looked in the drill today.
Yeah, but he's not an undrafted
player. Free agent.
We drafted him.
I know.
He should have been undrafted. He was last year's
Yeah,
Stephon Will.
Exactly.
That different episode. BFW in Progress, Tuesdays and Thursdays, 12 to noon. Talk to you next Friday. 15% concentrated power of will, 5% pleasure, 50% pain, 100% reason to remember the name. He doesn't need his name up in lights. He just wants to be heard, whether it's the beat of the mic. Thank you for downloading this podcast from Patriots.com. Log on anytime for more news and more podcasts from your favorite team and Patriots.com.